we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my privilege to bring you the Word of God today. And we are going to be continuing talking about the type of culture that you create in your household or in your church or in your company. You know, culture is what the norm is. It's what's what is acceptable there. And there are some companies that I have dealt with, and it was the culture there for people to not tell the truth. It was the culture. And the reason that I knew it was the culture is because it happened over and over and over again. And it didn't just happen with one person. It happened with multiple people. And so you have to ask yourself at some point in time, what type of culture am I going to create? So we've been looking at Abram and his life, and we have talked about how he created a culture of prayer. He created a culture of obedience. He created a culture of service. And so today we want to begin in Genesis chapter 15. We talked about Abram last week, how he had gone and rescued Lot. I will tell you this in the end of chapter 14, after he comes back from the battle, Abram created a culture of giving, because when Melchizedek, whose name means king of righteousness, he was king over Salem, which means king over peace, king of peace. And the New Testament in Hebrews, it says, who was without beginning and without end. And he became the priesthood through which Jesus became our high priest. And Abram created a culture of giving. This was long before the Mosaic Law. This was not a culture that was mandated. This giving was not a commandment. It was something that he wanted to do. And I believe that giving is part of that culture of service that we create. The government takes taxes, but God wants us to give him honor, give him glory, give him worship, and to honor him with the tithe and offering. I will tell you this about honor. Moses and Aaron, Moses continued to blame the people for the fact that he was not able to go into the promised land. But if you look in the scriptures very carefully, you will see that it was not the people that kept Moses out of the promised land. It was Moses and his behavior that caused the problem, where he was commanded to speak to the rock and instead he struck the rock. Previously, he had been commanded to speak or to strike the rock, but this time he said, "Must we always?" In other words, he thought that it was him that was doing this and not God. And God said, "It is because you refused to honor me as holy in the sight of the people." So as we are beginning to look to the Word this week, let's create a culture where we honor God, not just in private, but in public as well, where we honor him through our obedience, through our giving, through our lifestyles. May it be honoring to God. And so we do want to let you know that for the next two Wednesdays, we are not going to be having our vintage service. I am going to be away. And so we're going to have a couple of weeks off from that. And so wanted to let you know about that on Wednesday of this week. So that would be February the 10th and February the 17th. We will not be having our vintage service. We'll be resuming that on the 24th. So be praying for us as we're away. We're going to celebrate a birthday, and so anyway, that being said, let's and I will say this: thank you for everybody. I've encountered people in public over the past few weeks that have commented and said that they had been listening to the radio program, and we do want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. And I want to ask you to do one more thing, and that is, would you invite someone to tune in to Christian Radio? Somebody that you don't know. You don't know what they may be edified. They may be going through a situation in their personal life or in their work life, and they need that word of encouragement from God. So I encourage you to invite somebody to tune in to 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM and allow them to be built up in their most holy faith. And if you you know, are a little hesitant about sharing the gospel, maybe you could help break down that barrier by just inviting someone to tune in to Christian Radio. A couple of weeks ago, we had some visitors at church, and they had been invited to church months and months and months ago, and they showed up, and so we were very grateful for that. You've got to allow that time where the seed goes out to where it impacts somebody's life and makes a difference in their life. So invite somebody to tune into Christian Radio. I want to take you today. We're going to talk about a different culture that Abram created, and chapter 15 and verse number 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it.' And he said, 'Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit?' So he said to him, 'Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' Then he brought out all these to him and cut them in two down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge afterward. They shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.' And when it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.'" So that's Genesis chapter 15. And again, I want to share with you that this culture that Abram is going to create for his household, for his existence, for those under his authority, it begins with a God-initiated conversation. I'm so thankful that God is not waiting on us to begin things, but instead, he initiated them himself. Salvation was not something that man created. It was something that God ordained, that the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving here through Central Florida, and I was listening through WMIE. Didn't go that far. I was going through the stations, and I heard preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher, and I listened to them, and it's like I had this conversation going on. God, why would anybody tune in to listen to me share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And, you know, today I don't want to be just another voice. I want to bring you an opportunity, and that is that God gives each of us this day that he has given to us as a gift from him that enables us to either alter our culture and begin a culture that he would be pleased with, or we can continue perpetuating old habits. We could continue to perpetuate old doubts, old failures, and old mindsets. But today, I want you to know that God has given us the opportunity. He said, today, I want to begin a conversation with you today about creating a different culture. And you may have walked with God for a number of years. And if so, I'm grateful for that. This conversation is probably taking place when Abram is in his 80s, probably his lower 80s, because Ishmael has not been born yet. Ishmael was a teenager by the time that Isaac is to be born later. And so, you know, Abram was 100 at that point in time when Isaac was born. So we're going to say he's late 70s, early 80s. And that's a pretty good portion of a person's lifespan. And God comes to him and he says, Abram, don't be afraid. Now, he's just come back from a military victory. He's just refused to take the bounty of that military victory. In those days, whoever won the battle got all of the goods. And instead he said, no, I will not take anything from your hands. The king said, you keep the wealth, just give us the people. And I want you to know that in God's kingdom, true wealth is not monetary, it's relational. It's what kind of people are you having a relationship with? And the king of Sodom and the other kings that were delivered, they said, just give us the people. And if you look a little bit later in the book of Genesis and you see the exploitation and the abuse of individuals that were going on, whoever visited those cities, they felt like that they were the citizens of that city felt like that they had been brought new prey. They had been brought new victims. And the devil is constantly looking to victimize people over and over and over again. And Abram said, no, you are not going to be able to boast that you have made Abram rich. And so he refused even the financial reward. He just wanted Lot rescued. That was in his entire motivation from his going into battle. And so he comes out, he's defeated these kings that had come in, powerful kings, and now he is not only in a strange land, but he has also created allies in the kings that he's delivered, but those kings were in bondage to these other kings, and now he's set himself up, and God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And I want to come and tell you today that when you are creating a culture of faith, you will never create a culture of faith while at the same time you are in bondage to fear. Today, God wants you to know that with him as your Lord and Savior, you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen in the economy. You don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen in your physical well-being. You do not have to be fearful of the things that are taking place on the world stage. You do not have to give in. You are not a slave to terror. Perfect love, God's perfect love, casts out all fear. And so I just want to let you know, faith mobilizes and fear paralyzes. Faith mobilizes and fear paralyzes. And so I don't want you completely immobilized by fear. Instead, I want you to know God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you. He never will. And so it says, the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. He, Jesus, is your protection. And so, you know, when Jesus was speaking here on the earth, he said, don't fear them who are only able to kill the body. But if you're going to fear, fear the one who has the ability to control your soul's eternal destiny. And so you and I, we need to realize that this time that we have been given, it is very precious, it is very important. This time that we live, it is the opportunity that we have to decide, to make the choice. Am I going to accept Jesus as my shield, my savior, my sanctuary, my fortress? Or am I going to reject him and therefore be defenseless, be plundered by the enemy, be blinded by his deception, and end up being led astray? God does not want you led astray. He wants to be your fortress. By the way, we're talking about creating a culture of faith, and in the armor of God, it says that he has given us the shield of faith with which to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Today, I want to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus Christ and realize that his faith is not defective, but instead it is all-encompassing. It doesn't matter where the fiery dart comes from, what angle. When you are living by faith, when you are creating a culture of faith, be it in your heart or in your home or in your church, wherever you are fully protected. You are protected from frontal attacks, rear surprise attacks, ambushes. You are protected from attacks from the right or from the left, from above or from beneath. You are completely encompassed and protected by the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is your shield. He is your sufficiency. And he says this, your exceedingly great reward. Today, I want you to know that being a child of God and having God live in my heart is the greatest reward that there is. You see, I want to go to heaven, but the reason I want to go to heaven isn't because I don't want to go to hell. It's because Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is what makes heaven, heaven. You know, the crystal sea, okay, great. You know, the 12 gates made out of 12 individual pearls, that's great. I'm telling you what, if you're going to have a pearl that is big enough to be a gate into a city, that means God's created some pretty good size oysters out there. And so you and I, we need to realize it is not just about the no more death, no more sickness, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more parting, all of that stuff. It's not about the mansion. It's not about the streets of gold. It's not about no mortgages and no debt. It is about the fact that you and I get to spend eternity with Jesus. Jesus is enough. He says, I am your exceedingly great reward. Now, having said all that, let me tell you this, that when Jesus comes into your life, he comes in all his fullness. He comes with his entire entourage. He comes not just to forgive of sins, but to meet all of our physical needs as well. He comes and there's financial benefits, there are health benefits. I tell you that being a Christian, being a child of God, is the greatest quality of life that you can live here on planet Earth. Can you imagine? You get to talk to God. You get to prayer is the privileged communication that we have with the King of Kings and the Lord of the universe. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. Don't you want to create a culture of faith? You know, and I've worked for companies and they wanted their employees, you know, to be constantly on edge, constantly afraid that they were going to lose their job. And, you know, there's a lot of people who live their life, and you ask them, do you believe that you're going to heaven? And honestly, there are people who say, you know, there you'll get a lot of different answers. Yes, because I'm a good person. Being a good person won't get you there. The only way to get into heaven is to have Jesus forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Only way. Not my words. Those are Jesus' words. Okay? And so I tell people, and I use this analogy with on a lot of different occasions, and you know, there are some people who talk about, you know, the people that are coming into the country, and I say, okay, here is the key to my house. This key grants me access to my house. This key is representative of the fact that my name is on the title of the house, that I am the legal owner of that house. And so when I put that key into the lock and open the door, I am able to go in. I have the permission and the authority to be there. That is what Jesus does for us. He gives us permission. It's the key. That relationship with Jesus is the key that opens heaven to our accessibility. We get to go in. Now, if I try and use my key on your house, it's not going to get me in any place. Works might get you access to some accolades from people here on the earth, and you know they might think highly of you. But in the kingdom of God, it says, don't do your works for the praise of men, but do them so that your reward is stored up for you in heaven. And so there's a key that might get you in some doors, but it won't get you into heaven. Works are great. I mean, they can make you popular. They can make you famous, but they will not grant you access into heaven. The only way to heaven is with God being your exceeding great reward. Now, if I open my door and I find somebody in my house that's not supposed to be there, we have a problem. We have a problem. And so I want you to know that people who think that they are deserving of heaven because of their good works, they're just like that person that would try and come into my house without my permission. They're a thief and a robber. And God's not going to have any of that. There's not going to be any of that in heaven. He's been in charge of security long before the first security company was. So he says, Abram, I am your exceeding great reward. And Abram opens up and he says, God, what can you give me? Because I don't have any kids. And the heir of my household is not even one who was born unto me. He was just born here. You've not given me anyone to inherit everything that I am accomplishing by living for you. How many of you would like to leave a legacy? And God says in verse number 4, it says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And the culture of faith that was created in Abram and his household began with Abram saying, God, this current circumstance that I am facing will not leave a legacy of faith. It's not going to leave lasting impact. And God's response was, Abram, your current condition, even in your 80s, is not going to be your final condition. He says, you may not have had anything that has come from your DNA that is going to exist at this point in time, but Abram, it's not finished yet. It's not over yet. And I want to just build up your faith today that there may be those who are listening that are dealing with some issues. And I want you to know today that God is not finished yet. He has not had his last say yet. And so I want to continue. Listen for God. It's not over till God says it's over. It's not finished until God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so he takes Abram on a little walk and he says, Abram, I want you to look up. And I want you to start counting the stars. And he said, if you can count them, if you are able, he said, that's how many descendants you are going to have. I tell you, there is a purpose for all of those stars that are up in the heavens. And the purpose is this, to know that God is able to take something that hasn't produced anything yet and cause it to be exponential. I don't know what's going on all of those stars, but I do know this. From Earth's perspective, it was to build Abram's faith and say, Abram, by the time I get done with you, there's going to be more stars, or there's going to be more of your descendants that there are stars in the sky. And you know, nowadays we have so much illumination in our society that it's sometimes hard to see as many stars. But if you go out into the wilderness and you look up where there's no man-made light, all of a sudden you can see stars you never imagined before. And how do you create a culture of faith? It's very simple. In verse number 6, it says, and he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. You believe God. Whatever God says, believe it. Open your Bible, and when it says God said it, believe it. That is how it says he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's how you begin to create a culture of faith. Somebody, someplace, listening to this program today, start believing God and say, God, I am taking you at your word. Father, this week, may we begin to create a culture of faith in our homes, in our lives, in our churches, in our workplaces, God, and may you be glorified. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an